Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ian, I hope you and your fiance have a lovely New Year's Eve and a great 2026. And this is going to wrap it up for us for 2025 at least. But I enjoyed it as always. And we'll see you on Friday morning or not. All right, take it easy. We're going to talk about name, image, and likeness now. Strap in, because this could be confusing. Matt Brown joins us, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. How you doing, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
Do you remember Pete Finney?
I don't think I do.
There was a sports writer here. Pete Finney was a sports writer and a columnist, and he used to do a prediction every year about what was going to happen throughout the year, and sometimes it was accurate, sometimes it wasn't. It was always entertaining to read, and he would always end it with Happy New Year. That's the way he would end it after his list of predictions. Looking back on 2025, if we were to have had this conversation on, and I got to watch my years here because it's easy to get confused, but on New Year's Eve 2024, heading into this year, would you have thought we would be where we are or not?
Honestly, probably not. Okay. I also do a year-end prediction piece at Extra Points. I've been doing that every year since 2020. And then before I write the next one, I go back and look at all the stuff that I wrote before to see if I was right about anything, or, you know, to hold myself accountable, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I got a decent number of things wrong.
I don't mean to harp on what you got wrong, but you're very knowledgeable when it comes to this, and I'd like to know where it didn't go like you thought it would, and why.
Well, to be honest, I actually thought that there would be more movement towards a federal law involving college athletics in this year. I figured, hey, Republicans control Congress. You've got a president that's motivated and engaged and interested in college athletics. If the power conferences and the NCAA are all pushing for something, surely we'll get at least something out of the House. Mm-hmm. And for reasons that really didn't have anything to do with sports, mostly that didn't happen. And I thought that the salary cap would matter at least a little bit. And that clearly hasn't happened. In fact, schools haven't even signed on to any agreement to allow the College Sports Commission to enforce anything. So as we head into the transfer portal opening up again now, the rules say one thing, and what people are doing, especially here in this market, is something very, very different.
All right, let me take a step back before we, and I know we just started, but I do want to get this in about the Extra Points newsletter. Tell me about it.
Sure. The Extra Points newsletter covers business, policy, and off-the-field stories across the entire college sports landscape. From legal analysis to television deals, conference realignment, from the Power Four down to Division III. I've been running it since 2020.
All right. And take me, if you can, and give me a snapshot of where we are with transfer portal, with name, image, and likeness, because I think a lot of people get confused with so many different changes. Sure. And salary caps and this and that and the other thing. So if you can, give me an overview of college sports here as we sit on New Year's Eve 2025.
So as we head into 2026, if you're a college sports fan and haven't been following a lot of this stuff super closely, the rules are very different than what they were in the 90s or 80s or even the beginning of the 2010s. Now, colleges can pay athletes directly, not just in scholarship, not just in cost of attendance, but in cold hard cash in the six and seven figures. That's been the case since the summer. It's the first time that's ever happened. That's part of a settlement in a large class action lawsuit called House v. NCAA. So that means that LSU and Arkansas and Houston and Texas and Ohio State have a pool of money right now. About $20.5 million. Next year, it'll go up a little bit, that they can pay to athletes across all of their sports. So it's not $20 million bucks for just LSU football. It's $20 million bucks for LSU women's basketball and baseball and football and basketball. Athletes can also earn money, what we call above the cap, through marketing deals. If Raising Cane's wants to pay somebody to go work the drive-through window for a couple of weeks and sign some autographs, they can still do that. But those deals are supposed to go to a non-NCAA clearinghouse operated by Deloitte called the CSC to make sure that people are being paid relative to their fair market value. What is not supposed to happen anymore is a group of donors saying, I'm going to give this left tackle $1 million to sign three autographs, mm-hmm. Because that's not what a fair market value would be for that person. That you're giving $1 million to play football, not to sign autographs or to speak to the Boys and Girls Club. But that's what it says on paper. In practice, the salary cap stuff's not being enforced at all. It's not like the NBA or the NFL where if you try to set up some kind of fraud to get around the cap like the Clippers did with Kawhi Leonard, allegedly, you could lose draft picks or face some very stiff penalties. So you're going to see figures like you might have over the last week where LSU football is going to have a payroll next year of $25, maybe $30 million, which is way above the salary cap because nobody's enforcing those rules.
Where is that money coming from?
If the money above what LSU itself is giving, that money is either coming from LSU donors or other donors of other schools or businesses. It used to come from collectives, which were just front groups for assorted donors to go pool money. Sometimes that still happens at some schools. Other schools have brought their collectives under the control of the institution. But it's donors or businesses that are friendly to donors that are providing the money above the cap. And that's happening right now at just about every school in the Power Four for football and college basketball.
Coach O was quoted as saying, Tim Zimmer tells me on a podcast that the money used to go out the back door, now it's just going through the front door. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. It's coming through the front door now. There's W-9s, and there didn't used to be. Mm-hmm. The money's also a lot bigger than it used to be. Money going out the back door, you might pay somebody, $30,000 in casino chips. You might pay somebody $100,000 that gets laundered through a church charity or something, or McDonald's bags, or maybe a car. Now, if you're a starter at an SEC team that has designs of making the college football playoff, even if you're a linebacker or a safety, we're talking $400,000-$500,000, and for high level quarterbacks, north of $3 million, which was simply not the case during the Coach O era or anybody before him.
Oh man, so many questions. So
a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. So when you earlier were talking about Deloitte and you used a lot of subjective words in there about fair market value and supposed to, and is anybody watching anything?
Well, so there is a mechanism that's supposed to be watching some of this stuff, right? If you are an athlete, whether you're in the SEC, Southland Conference, Big Ten, anywhere, and you are signing some kind of marketing deal for more than $600, what the rules say you should do is make sure that you... Rules from the both the NCAA and rules from the settlement for House v. NCAA,
okay,
which dictated the mechanism to pay all of this money now to athletes. But what that says is you need to document this deal, send it to university compliance, and also send it to this third-party clearinghouse.
But I think the words matter here, if I might jump in.
Sure. Please.
Because this is all based on a precedent set by the House decision, not necessarily rules that are codified by anybody, or am I getting out of line here?
Well, a good question. So this settlement is, when we say codified here, that's a settlement between plaintiffs, between the attorneys that represented all of these other athletes, mm-hmm, the NCAA and power conferences, and then a federal judge. So I think you can say it has been codified. It's been codified by something that's a bigger deal than just the NCAA or Indianapolis bureaucrats. It's, mm-hmm, it's the U.S. judicial system. By that agreement says, okay, the NCAA is not going to enforce these rules. It's going to go to this third group. And this third group here, and we've hired a couple of ex-investigators from Major League Baseball and some ex-FBI people and Deloitte Consulting. And so when an athlete does any kind of deal, the athlete sends their contract and the deal stipulations and what they're supposed to deliver and what they're going to get paid. And then Deloitte runs it through this algorithm of all of the other deals that have been popped in there and spits out some kind of answer about whether this is permitted or not. But even if it's not permitted, nobody does anything. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any penalty. And in fact, there can't really be any penalty because the schools haven't signed the agreements that gives the legal authority to impose any penalty. So we've really just been in kind of a waiting period over the last 7 months. And to the extent that anybody is following the rules, it's out of the honor system rather than police.
Where do the universities stand on this? What would they like to see?
It's a really complicated thing because if you talk to a university president, or when I talk to most athletic directors, when my microphone is on, they will say, we absolutely want a system where there's some rules. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to be accountable for following the same kind of procedures. We would like any kind of entity to punish bad actors, right? Think about it. If you're on the highway somewhere and there's a speed limit, many people would say we would like a speed limit to be enforced, but you don't want the speed limit enforced on you. So the athletic director who might make $600,000 says we're committed to following the rules. And then the football coach who makes $9 million, mm-hmm, his job is immediately to get around those rules because nobody gets hired or promoted for rule following.
Right.
They get hired or promoted or firing for winning football games. And that requires the best roster. And so they're going to be incentivized to find some way around it. And if they get in trouble, then the school and all the school's lawyers and the governor and the attorney general will file lawsuits to make sure that they don't get punished. So multiply that across 60 other institutions, and that's how you have a world where there isn't...
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code AUDIO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Really strong rule enforcement. And in my view, that's really how college sports has operated for the last 50 years.
Let me stop there, because you said for the last how long?
At least 50 years.
I want to talk about the historical.
That would put us to what? The 80s, 70s?
The historical significance of that as well, and how it used to be with scholarships and so forth, because I think the history is important. We're having a fascinating hour here with Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. Look, I don't know it all, and if you have any questions or comments, please text them in the 504-260-1870, and where pertinent, I'll feed them to Matt, and we'll see what we get out of the other side. Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, talking about the changes in college sports, notably football. We got a new thing coming in with Lane Kiffin, revenue sharing, name, image, likeness, transfer portal. Ain't like it used to be, but what was it like 50 years ago? We'll find out when we come back on WWL. We are back at 9:28 on this New Year's Eve, so Matt Brown is our guest, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, talking about the changes in college football, or has it really? Because let's go back 50 years to 1976. It's New Year's Eve. You and I are talking. You know, it'd be hard for you to understand, because I'd be babbling. You know, I'd only be 4 years old. But tell me about what was actually going on and what we thought was going on. What was the perception when it comes to paying athletes?
Sure. So back in the 70s, the business of college athletics was very, very, very different. One of the biggest changes was that you would not have been able to sit down and turn on ESPN or ESPN2 or any number of other college cable networks and watch all the college football games that you want. The entire nationwide contract for college football was all handled under one entity, the NCAA, and there was one contract. Mm-hmm. And so Indianapolis decided who was going to be on TV and when. And there might only be one, maybe two, a national LSU broadcast a week. You might be stuck watching, you know, Indiana Purdue, or sometimes even a small college game, which was meant so nobody would have overwhelming power. I mean, you wouldn't be stuck watching just Notre Dame every single week. Mm-hmm. The problem with that setup was that it was very illegal. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court in 1984.
Illegal in terms of antitrust, Matt?
And that's exactly what it was. Okay. It was an unfair restraint of trade. The NCAA was prohibiting other broadcasters from being involved, hurting consumer choice. And eventually that goes to the Supreme Court. And I think this is important as we think about money in college athletics, because once things get deregulated by the late 80s, early 90s, then suddenly the value of a television contract for any particular league skyrockets. And that adds enormously more money into this pool. In the 70s, LSU made its money primarily from selling tickets. Now, LSU makes its money primarily through television and licensing and corporate sponsorships that didn't exist before. So if that money wasn't really there in the 70s, people were still getting paid under the table to outside of the cost of a scholarship to attend schools. I think many folks listening to this remember the days of the Southwest Conference and SMU and Texas everybody, you know, constantly being under investigation, you know, recruiting in the SEC.
Recap what happened at SMU and for what did they get the, quote, death penalty for?
Sure. SMU got the death penalty in the 1980s for being a habitual repeat offender of NCAA amateurism rules, where the school was busted multiple times between 1974 to 1984 for athletes getting benefits above a scholarship. And in the SMU case, that went all the way up, I believe, if I remember correctly, to like the governor of Texas, who was helping to facilitate this payroll, players getting checks and cars and all these other things. The funny thing is most of what SMU was doing in, you know, 81, 82 would be considered completely legal and permissible now, but it wasn't then. So I think this is the important difference. People were always getting $400, $500 handshakes from boosters from time immemorial, but there's so much more corporate money in college athletics now than existed a few decades ago that once these rules have changed, the amount of money available that can also float to the players is immeasurably larger than it was beforehand.
Is there any indication that the public has lost interest in college sports as a result of all of this?
You know, this is a really interesting question, Tommy, because we can look at this just nationally, and a lot of folks will tell you quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Ticket sales and attendance at the largest programs has actually mostly improved. There was a good decade, from like 2013, I want to say, until about COVID, when attendance was in decline for most of the country. That has begun to change. And television ratings for major broadcasts, particularly in the SEC, have broken records over the last couple of years. So we can point to some data points and say, actually, people are more invested and engaged in college athletics than they've ever been. But it's difficult to square that, because then when you talk to both ADs and coaches and players like I do every day, and I think many of the listeners of this program, you'll also hear individual people say, I'm frustrated. And what I think is happening right now is that if you're a fan of LSU, you might not love all of these changes, but you're still awfully excited for the Lane Kiffin era. Mm-hmm. You're still going to go pack Death Valley and still be engaged. If you are a fan of Louisiana Tech, or if you're a fan of Lafayette or Monroe, and you realize that nine of your starters, your best players, are all going to end up in the ACC or the SEC next year, and you have no sense of continuity, that I think is where we're going to see the first signs of fan and donor disengagement. And that might be the canary in the coal mine.
You mentioned investing, which makes me think about private equity firms. Talk about that, if you would.
Sure. So as we've been talking about here, right, like over the last year, schools now have the ability to give money directly to athletes. That's a $20 million cost that they didn't have 2 or 3 years ago. And it's not really easy for you to say, okay, well, we're just going to pay Lane Kiffin less money, or we're going to pay our women's basketball, we're going to pay Mulkey less money so we can go pay the athletes. Those coaches are all under long-term contracts. So you can't really do that. It's only the assistants that are under 1 or 2 year deals. You're not going to make the stadium smaller. So that means that everybody is looking to how do we find extra money so we can go pay these athletes, and now extra money so we can pay a GM, so we can build systems, so we can figure out how much to pay people or track these things. Like, the expenses are just going up. And for most places, you realize, look, I can only sell so many tickets. I can only build so many other bars and be in so many video games and get so much other money the conventional way. So many institutions, not as much here in the SEC, but certainly in the American Athletic Conference, the Big 12 Conference, and some of these leagues that don't have the same amount of money, are looking at institutional investments to help either give them an immediate cash bump to help pay for some of these things, or money to help them make other revenue-generating investments so that they can have the same amount of money as LSU or Ohio State.
Who is investing in what?
This is a good question, and I'll feel free to interrupt me. And folks listening here, feel free to hop on the text line, because the specifics vary a little bit from school to school.
Okay.
The example that most recently happened was with the University of Utah. is the first school to sign a private equity investment arrangement with their athletic department. And what they have done is Utah said, all right, all of the things that generate money in our athletic department, our television deals, our ticket sales, our hot dog sales, our parking, our licensing, our corporate sponsorships, we're going to take all that money and we're going to stick it in a new LLC. And then we're going to go to an institutional investor, in this case, a private equity firm in New York that also owns stakes in
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Formula One racing teams and some sports marketing agencies. And they're going to come and they're going to buy a chunk of that new business and then give us a bunch of upfront money, which we can use to maybe build a new basketball arena or maybe spend a bunch more money on players or hire different coaches or do these things. And the hope is that helps us make enough money to pay back the private equity company and maybe buy back control of everything. Sometimes it's a private equity company. Sometimes it's a teacher's pension fund. Sometimes it's one person. Every deal is going to look a little bit different, but they're not buying LSU. They're not buying the University of Utah.
And that was my question. Yeah. Secured by what?
Well, the security here is you might look at the University of Utah and think like, well, they're not going to go bankrupt because the university is owned by the state and the state will back them up. And we can look and say, well, the main source of income for this athletic department is a television contract. That's guaranteed through 2030. We're pretty confident that the stadium is still going to sell out or come close to selling out, and so there's some of this stuff is long term contracted, but that is also the risk is you can't exactly repossess the football stadium because it's not an asset that can be really sold, and that's why these deals didn't happen for the last 100 years.
Nor do you have a hand in the board or Do you these private equity firms or who's coaching?
The thing is, this is the main contention. This is why many of these deals are proposed and are not signed. And one of the big questions in the Utah case, the private equity company does have board seats, but they don't have majority control. The majority operation day to day is still the same Utah Athletic Department. In the case of the Big Ten, that didn't end up doing this, but strongly considered it. The Big Ten would control, I think, like 19 of the 20 board seats. And I have seen pitch decks for other proposals where that isn't the case, and that's something that school officials have to, and the conference officials have to juggle with here. Because the people that want to give you the most money don't want to do it for free.
Does that not make them, in certain instances, potential for hostile takeovers?
I think that depending on how things are set up, that's always a possibility. One of the risks of selling a chunk of anything that you have, whether it's a business or a state asset, to a third party, is you don't always get to control what that third party does with it. I'll give you guys a non-sports example here, but I promise it makes sense and is lined up with this. I live in Chicago, and a couple years ago, City of Chicago decided to sell the control of all of the city parking meters to a private equity company. Mm-hmm. They gave like a 100-year lease in exchange for this huge chunk of money, which, of course, Chicago, governed worse than New Orleans, spent immediately.
I don't know about that.
It's pretty. I've lived in both places.
Back in the day, maybe we got a new future ahead of us that we're optimistic about. But anyway, go ahead, Matt. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So the city sells control these parking meters to a third company, and that third company then in turn sells it to a equity fund based in the UAE. Mm-hmm. And the Middle Eastern firm gets all of its money back and makes a profit after year two and now controls all the parking meters for the next 95 years. Mm-hmm. We've gone to court. We've tried to get out of it. There's no way to do it. And so now you end up with a situation where if I want to, you know, close my streets and have a block party for my neighbors here in Chicago, I got to go ask permission from some dude in Dubai because they signed a contract here for street parking. And everyone in Chicago realizes this is a disaster. And this is the risk, I think, with potentially doing this, depending on how you structure these contracts in college sports, because it might look great now, but in 15 years, when Vern is gone and Governor Landry is gone and Lane Kiffin is gone and everybody else involved in the beginning of this deal is gone and somebody else is in charge, it might look much worse. And that is a difficult thing that schools have to grapple with as they look at how can I get the money I need to be competitive now without torpedoing my future 20 years down the line.
Local reference, but it sounds like the Bell Chase Bridge toll situation. We'll pick it up when we come back, 9:41, 19 till 10. We're talking to Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, about college athletics and the funding therein and who's getting paid and who's not and where the money's coming from, who's got a stake in it, who doesn't. We're going to look ahead to 2026 when we come back because, man, that private equity thing, that just scares the you-know-what out of me. Traffic now, WWL. 9:48, Tommy Tucker, WWO, Never Enough Time with Matt Brown, publisher of the Extra Points newsletter, talking about the wild, wild west that is now college football and athletes. Somebody texted in about coaches. Matt, does any of this change coaches, or was it always the wild, wild west?
I think the way that college sports is set up right now has certainly made the job of a coach very, very different than what it was before. The conventional wisdom was that once we start paying athletes, well, coaches will start to be paid less. And while that might eventually happen for, baseball coaches outside the SEC or some of these other Olympic sports, we're going to have a story about this next week after we've looked at all of the new contracts coming in now. That doesn't seem to be the case. If you think a coach is going to help you win a national championship, you're going to find the money to go pay that guy. Mm-hmm. But that person's job has changed significantly. And Lane Kiffin, I think, has been very upfront and public about how that role has changed.
And ahead of the curve, right?
And in some ways, right? Like if you're coaching the Saints, your first, second, and third job is X's and O's and player development and football related. And you know that the guys on that team, they might be signed a multi-year contract. You know who's up for free agency, and you have you can look up with the salary cap information because it's all public, and get an idea for about how much it's going to cost and who will be eligible to maybe be a replacement target at wide receiver or outside linebacker next year. None of that is the case in college sports, where even if you sign somebody to a multi-year contract, there's no guarantee that contract is enforceable. So you are constantly recruiting your own roster. You're constantly recruiting everybody else's roster. And the way that you're managing your program has to, it doesn't have to be, but it typically is explicitly transactional. Even the NFL, you don't typically flip a roster, you know, 45, 50, 55% year over year, which is now not an uncommon occurrence in major parts of college football. And in college basketball, it's even more dramatic, where easily 80% of your roster might turn over from year to year, and you might only have guys on campus for 4.5 months. I don't want to say that this new way is automatically all bad or that the old way was all good. It's just very different. And if you were somebody that was coaching college sports 15 years ago, that transition can be deeply uncomfortable because it requires a very different set of skills.
So let me talk about Lane Kiffin for a second here. Maybe we need a quarterback, depending on how you feel about Van Buren. So I don't know if people are under contract with universities or not, or is it a year-to-year deal? Could Lane Kiffin theoretically go quarterback shopping at every university in a country, wherever he wanted, and if he's got the money, lure the guy that he wants?
He could try. What is common, right? And I'm saying this speaking generally because I haven't seen every contract or everybody currently on LSU. But what is pretty common is for a player to have a deal that gives a lump sum or a bunch of money up front at the beginning of the contract, and then some near the end of the transfer portal. And if a new coach comes in and decides that they doesn't agree with Brian Kelly's talent assessment and he wants to go look at changing players in different places, then those guys leave. Sometimes whether they want to or not, their roster spot is not renewed.
What about scholarship? What does the scholarship rules say about that?
So the scholarship rules on paper say that scholarships are supposed to be 4-year commitments. Hmm. And that schools cannot cancel a scholarship due to athletic poor performance. That is what the rules say. So what will happen is Lane Kiffin might theoretically go to, say, a backup left tackle, redshirt sophomore, hasn't played yet, and say, son, if you want to stay at LSU and be a regular student, we will honor your scholarship and you can, you know, study computer science. If you want to continue to play football here, I'm going to make you run gassers at 3 o'clock in the morning every single day until you puke and you'll never, ever play. And my GA will make life hell for you. You should transfer. And then 9 times out of 10, that guy goes, you know what? I should transfer, especially now, because if they leave, someone's going to pay that guy.
Right.
And most people would rather get paid.
So wait, go back for a second. If you want to major in computer science, you still have your scholarship or not?
You can still remain at the institution and keep a 4-year scholarship and just not be an athlete. That is allowed.
Hmm.
It rarely happens.
So who would be on the hook for that, the university or the athletic department?
Well, fundamentally, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you've taken private equity money and you're somewhere else.
I want to get to that because somebody texted in that private equity companies were in business to make money. So how are, it all depends on the athletic department making money, and private equity companies buy into football programs or, in the case of Utah, the entire athletic department.
To my knowledge of every pitch deck that I have seen so far from companies that are proposing this, and from the Utah deal and the proposed Big Ten deal, everybody is proposing buying into the athletic department, not just the football team and those revenues. But you're right. They do this because they want to make money. So the implicit bet is either A, we are so confident in our private equity business genius abilities that we can grow revenue from selling more sponsorships to slapping a sponsorship ad on the jerseys to raising ticket prices and doing these other things, and that we can cut costs in other places so that they can get a return on their investment and make their money back. And in some cases, in international soccer and Formula One, and some track sports, private equity has been successful at doing this. But college sports is a very different business, and that's why there's a lot of skepticism.
Business being the operative word. Matt, I can't thank you enough for your time. Jordan Fiegel, our producer, gave me a list of questions about agencies, agents. I haven't even had a chance to get to those, so you have to come back in 2026, okay?
That sounds great. I appreciate you having me back on, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Happy New Year.
It's the Extra Points newsletter. How do you subscribe to it?
Yes, sir. You can find Extra Points at www.extrapointsmb.com. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Brown EP. The newsletter has a free and a paid option. There's computer games on there. There's a salary library. There's a whole bunch of resources if you want to learn more about the business of college athletics. That's at extrapointsmb.com.
Happy New Year to you, and good luck with the parking. Back in a flash, WWL.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.